This is not the London I grew up in. It's time to take back our city. This granny's joining the resistance. Are you? Play Watchdogs Legion. Available October 29th. Rated M for mature.
Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramie.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. I'm your host, Mark Daly, and it is not a race weekend this week, but still plenty of news going around in the Formula One world that we're going to talk about. And on a night when the President of the United States, Donald Trump, tests positive for COVID-19, as if 2020 could not get any weirder and any stranger. It never ceases to amaze this year. So there you go. Donald Trump testing positive for COVID-19 tonight. Okay, well, let's go back and take a look at the latest Formula One news. There are plenty of things going on. Still a little bit of fallout from last weekend's Russian Grand Prix. Well, at least if you're Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes. Still some talk going on about the double five-second time penalty that Lewis was given for the practice start infringement before the start of the race. Anyways, FAA race director Michael Massey says that the FAA is trying to stop Lewis Hamilton. There was a couple of things said in the heat and in the aftermath of what had happened. Lewis was given, well, first of all, I mean, he this is not the first time he's had some penalties in recent times. He had a 10-second stop and go penalty at Monza a couple of weeks ago when he went into the pit lane just after race control declared it closed. Just unfortunate timing. I mean, at that point he was already committed. He couldn't get out of it, I think, even if he wanted to. After the latest incident, when he was given the double 5-second penalty at Sochi last weekend, Lewis had to say, quotes, it has to be, oh, sorry, I should go back. The quote is a little bit out of context if I don't read the what came before it. Anyways, he was asked whether or not he thought that the penalty that he was given in Sochi was excessive, and Lewis said, quote, "Of course it is, but it has to be expected. They're trying to stop me, aren't they? But it's okay. I just need to keep my head down, stay focused, and we'll see what happens." End quote. Anyways, I mean, Lewis obviously quite upset about it, and you can understand why. I mean, two 10-second penalties in two out of three races, and they've obviously cost him the opportunity to win both of those races. Let's just be honest and fair about it. I mean, it cost him two race wins. Anyways, I think it just goes to show you that not even the likes of great drivers like Lewis Hamilton are completely immune to not getting penalized in certain situations. Although the start one, I mean, the one at Monza for entering the pit lane when it was closed, that one was a little bit cut and dry. The start one, or the practice start one at Sochi, apparently they have somewhere where that's allowed, and he did it outside of the designated area. So, okay, we know that. So we don't know exactly, or I don't know exactly whereabouts, how much he missed the safe or the dedicated zone for. But again, it is what it is. But you can understand Lewis's frustration in that. Anyways, you can also, to an extent, understand why he gets upset and, says something like he did. Anyway, Michael Massey, the race director, said that he's always available to talk to a driver if he has an issue or a problem with the way that things turn out, and he wants to discuss that issue. Anyways, Massey had to say, quote, "From my perspective, it's very simple. If Lewis wants to raise something, as I've said to him before and said to all the drivers numerous times, the door is always open and I'm more than happy to discuss anything. But I think from an FIA perspective, we are there as sporting regulator to administer the regulations. We have the stewards as an independent judiciary to adjudicate those, and therefore there was an infringement. It doesn't matter if it was Lewis Hamilton or any other one of the 19 drivers. If a breach has occurred of the regulations, then they will consider it on its merits. And also further to that, I would also say adjudicate it equitably and fairly in the circumstances, taking all the key elements into account," end quote. And I think that's about the only thing that Massey really has to say. I mean, they have to to be impartial. They have to judge each and everything, each and every case on its own, regardless, like you said, if it's Lewis Hamilton or any one of the other 19 drivers on the grid. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it, like I say, it has cost Lewis a couple of race victories in recent weeks. But I think I don't think that they're honestly trying to artificially, you know, influence the championship or anything like that, or hold him back. I think it's just unfortunate, you know, the way that it's worked out. So, like I say, I think the one in Monza was unavoidable. He was committed to going into the pit lane, and the practice start one, I think that's probably something that they need to discuss as a team at Mercedes, because that just seems to be something where he was probably just wasn't informed where he should or he shouldn't. Anyways, Lewis has had a couple of things to say recently. He's kind of backpedaled a little bit in the days after the Grand Prix. He posted to social media just a couple of days ago that he's learning and growing after the comments that he made after the Russian Grand Prix. He told Sky Sports after the race, quote, "I need to go back and see what the rules are, what exactly I did wrong. I'm pretty sure no one has ever got 2 5-second penalties for something so ridiculous before. I didn't put anyone in danger. I've done this at a million tracks over the years and never been questioned over it, but it is what it is," end quotes. So anyways, I mean, I think there was a little bit of compromise on both sides. I mean, he was also given 2 penalty points on his super license, and then they actually reversed that in place of a fine for Mercedes after they reviewed everything after the race, which I think is probably the right thing to do. Anyways, Lewis made some comments on social media earlier this week, and he said, quote, "I may not always get it right in the face of adversity. I may not always react the way you want me to when tensions are high, but I'm only human after all, and I'm passionate about what I do. I'm learning and growing every day, and I'll take my lessons and keep fighting on to the next one," end quote. So there you go. Max Verstappen and Sebastian Vettel have actually questioned what they call a harsh penalty points system in the wake of what happened to Lewis at Sochi. So of course he was initially given that 2 penalty points on his super license that would have given him taken up to 10 out of the for the last 12 months, and if they get up to 12 points, then they get an automatic one race banned. Now that would really hurt Lewis if he was actually banned for a race rather than taking the time penalties, which has obviously affected him quite substantially at Monza and Sochi the last weekend. So like I said, I mean, they rescinded that and that 2-point penalty on his super license and fined Mercedes 25,000 euros instead. So he would have been one more incident away from actually getting a ban for the next 4 races, the notes says here, which actually seems a little bit harsh. I got to go and check that out, go back and check my notes. Max Verstappen said it was a bit harsh to actually give Hamilton such a penalty for a mistake that wasn't made by him, but by the team. Max had to say, quote, "If you cause a crash, it's a difference, but the penalty Lewis got was already painful enough. I don't know how many points you got, 2 points. It's a bit harsh. He's up to 10 points. I mean, it was not correct where he stopped, but penalty points for that, I'm sure that's correct. He was penalized enough by having this penalty in the race, so I don't think you need to hand out penalty points for that. But I guess we'll talk about it in the next briefing, and we have to have and see if something will happen or not," end quote. Sebastian Vettel was very much in agreement with Max Verstappen. He had to say, quote, "I think if you really do some really crazy moves on the track and some dangerous driving, then they're justified. But if you're speeding through the pit lane or minor infringements, it's probably not the point to apply penalty points," end quote. And I think so too. I mean, I think that, he was in breach of the rules, and that there should be some repercussion for that. And I think, honestly, you know, the time penalties, like double 5-second penalties, that seemed harsh enough. But was pointed out by Sebastian Vettel and both Max, he didn't do anything crazy. The error was in effect, on the pit wall, you know, not informing him where he should do his practice starts, and to give him 2 penalty points on his super license on top of that, when he didn't actually endanger anybody, that seemed a little bit harsh. I think that the way that they did it, roll back those two penalty points, put the hand out a fine to the team, and then just go away from the incident, and leave it at that. Now, team principal at Red Bull, Christian Horner, he believes that the error that Mercedes made is something that he sees it as a bit of a weakness with the team, and he feels that it could actually be a sign that a bit of a complacency is rolling in. Anyways, it's interesting. What Christian had to say, or his thoughts about them. He says, quote, "That's why we desperately would like to get a car to challenge them, because I think operationally we have a very strong team. We demonstrated that again with the fastest pit stop, and if we didn't break the overall record, we were very, very close to it. It was one of the fastest one that we measured, and I got 1.8 seconds on my watch." Anyways, he went on to say about Mercedes, "We can only focus on ourselves. Mercedes obviously have had some issues, and when you're constantly at the front, it's easier sometimes to be a challenger team. Sometimes complacency can slip in when you've had such a period of dominance," end quote. Well, that, you know, that is an interesting take. Maybe, maybe not. I don't think that complacency is anything that anyone really associates with Mercedes. But, you know, I think they've been proven over time that that they, you know, that they are human as well, and they do occasionally make mistakes. But the thing is that whenever it happens, they seem to bounce back awfully quickly. So I would be very surprised if we saw anything like that again. Certainly in the next couple of races, and certainly not in the foreseeable future, but we'll keep an eye on it and see if it's a trend or if just a couple of bizarre incidents that just kind of came through at the time. But you know, Christian, I think it's an interesting take from somebody that is a direct competitor of, from Mercedes, and I think that you're always looking at any way you can get on an edge on one of your competitors, and I think maybe that's what he's looking at, that perhaps they're relaxing a little bit and maybe he feels that could be exploited. Anyways, time for a break here at the Overtime Media Network, and I just want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. So winning season is back at MyBookie, and winning season means doubling your first deposit. It also means insane props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. Winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. The NFL is back, and that means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes. So get in on the action by using my promo code OVERTIME and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. So bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. Use my promo code OVERTIME and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie. All right, well, welcome back to the show, and let's move on. So I just want to cover a couple other things that just came out wrap up this whole thing, because I think that the this whole incident with Lewis at Sochi, because I think it's interesting when you see Mercedes, a team that you don't really expect to make errors with the rules and such, right? We expect to see them. They are the benchmark and the comparison for everyone else, and when they do something and get penalized for something as silly as practice starts in the wrong area of the track, then of course, people are going to talk about it. But I think it is interesting, too, because maybe this is a little bit of sign of complacency, because Andrew Shovlin, who is the track engineering director at Mercedes Formula One, says that the team actually only expected what he called a telling off for for Lewis's practice starts. So that is interesting. Perhaps that is a bit of an indication or a bit of a sign. Maybe that's what Christian Horner is also looking at when he's talking about complacency. Shovlin did go on to explain it a little bit, and he said, quote, "In some places there's a box that they paint on the floor and you've got to do it in the box. In other places it's a kind of general area, and often there's a lot of rubber that's not going to be representative of the grid. The drivers and also the engineers will want to find a bit that's closer in terms of grip to the what to expect on the grid." And it was all Lewis asked if he could go a bit further. We hadn't realized how quite far far he was going to go, but is really just trying to find a bit of tarmac that's more like the one you're going to get when you do a proper race start. So anyways, he did go on to say that they didn't see the first one, and when they saw the second practice start, they actually thought that at that point that the stewards were actually going to have a bit of an issue with it. They thought that Lewis's second practice start wasn't dangerous, and he said even that the event notes that they had, it was on the right-hand side of the track just after the pit exit, and they thought it might have been a bit of a gray area or ambiguous that they just would have had like a verbal warning or something instead. So he did go on and finally to say that it was a big surprise that they didn't like it, even though that seems to contradict what he was saying before, that that they felt that they might have an issue with that one. And he said that that there may have been no doubt that there may have been teams that actually flagged it, in his own words, as to whether the FIA or their stewards spotted it themselves. So maybe they feel that somebody had pointed it out to the stewards rather than stewards finding itself. But it is interesting. I mean, it's a sort of a bit of a contradictory kind of message there. And on one hand, he's saying, yeah, we thought that we were going to have an issue with it right away, and then maybe not so much. But obviously, at the end of the day, it was a big enough of a deal. And, well, you know, maybe Christian Horner is onto something. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Anyways, just to finally wrap this this one up, Lewis said that Mercedes have to do a lot better, and don't even give the stewards of what he calls a sniff of rule infraction to penalize them going forward. Again, you see some of the quotes. Lewis called the penalty, quote, ridiculous, and quote, BS, long form of that, right after the race. Anyways, Lewis did have to go through, and he said, quote, I guess we'll go through the rule book and pick out areas where they can create rules, areas where penalties have never been given before. We'll try to figure it out, all the ones that they have, and try to make sure that we cover ourselves than the ones that we are aware of. I don't think anyone's had the penalty for that before, so we'll just work hard. We've gone through enough seasons before without penalties, so we just have to make sure I give them no reason, not even a sniff, to be able to do something, end quote. So Christian Horner, he also was talking about Mercedes, and says that their car this year, the W11, is the most complete car that they've ever built, and or Mercedes, that is, and the most complete car in the modern era of Formula One. So this is, very, very interesting, especially when you think about it, and these aren't new cars this year. I mean, they're just developments on last year's car. So to really refine that, that design and take it forward and make it even better, and get the praise of rivals, especially Red Bull is obviously a big rival of Mercedes, I think, is quite telling. Anyways, Christian had to say, quote, Mercedes has done a very good job this year. It is probably their most complete and rounded car, probably of the last 6 or 7 years from them. So they've set the bar very high, but that's what we have to aim for, end quote. And that is absolutely true. I mean, ever since this turbo hybrid era came into effect back in 2014, I mean, it really has been Formula Mercedes, right? I mean, they've been absolutely untouchable in most seasons. I mean, they've won every Drivers and Constructors Championship since then. And I mean, that's, occasionally somebody rises up and challenges them. I mean, most recently, Ferrari, but it's unfortunate they started to tail off last year. I mean, this year they're closer to Williams in terms of pace than Mercedes, which is disturbing. And Red Bull, although Max has had some good races, obviously he's won, he had the opportunity to win already this year. It's just that he's still just not quite close enough to challenge them under normal circumstances. I mean, Max probably should have won both races at Silverstone, but Lewis was able to struggle home on the Mercedes tricycle after he had that puncture right at the end. But I mean, the thing is, under normal circumstances, Max is close, but not quite close enough. I mean, it must be so frustrating to know that you're better than everybody else, but you're still not quite close enough to beat the guys that you're really aiming for. And it really is a case of that everybody else really is chasing Mercedes. They have been that gold standard for so many years, but it isn't easy, especially in this era where there has been no cost controls, and they've been free to do what spend what they want and how they see fit, more or less, right? But I mean, we have this decreasing cost cap coming in for next year, and that's really going to be interesting to see how that affects the big teams, the Ferraris, the Mercedes, and to some extent the Red Bulls, even though that they don't spend typically as much as say a Ferrari or Mercedes, but they spend more than other teams, right? So it will be, I think, a real test, yeah, I guess you could say a test, a real indication of how well this this cost cap is going to work, going forward next year and in years to come, whether or not everybody has similar funds to work with and has the similar finances that they have, whether or not this is going to lead to more equality, more parity in terms of performance on the track, or is it still just going to be a matter of the team that with the best minds are still going to figure out a way to win? And I suspect that's going to be a way. I mean, you could all have the same amount of money, but if you don't know how to spend that money wisely, or you go down the wrong path in terms of development and the engine or the aero package or both, then it doesn't really matter. You're still going to have a car that doesn't really work as good compared to your competitors. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
While sports can bring us so much joy, it can also bring us a lot of unwanted stress. And that stress can make it difficult to concentrate, relax, and get decent sleep. Sunday Scaries was launched in 2017 by two best friends and business partners, Bo Schmidt and Mike Sill. They operated a full-service bar with 50 employees and were always exhausted. They tried all kinds of products, but they didn't work. Then they started experimenting with CBD. They loved the effects and regained control of their days and nights, but they wanted better CBD products. So what they did for themselves was specially formulate CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that were super consumable, easy to take on the go, and effective. Long story short, their specially formulated CBD products and vitamins helped relieve the overwhelming angst they felt on a daily basis. So in July 2017, they named the company Sunday Scaries and began sharing their products with friends and launched their online store at sundayscaries.com. With tens of thousands of customers, monthly subscribers, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Sunday Scaries has always been on a mission to transform a worrisome nation into a chill one. And right now, we have a bonus for you. Get 25% off all products at sundayscaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME. Again, 25% off all products at sundayscaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME.
This is not the London I grew up in. It's time to take back our city. This granny's joining the resistance. Are you? Play Watch Dogs Legion. Available October 29th. Rated M for mature.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. And sticking with the theme just before we went to the break there, Red Bull spent £237 million last year in 2019. And that was actually a slight reduction from the year before when they spent about £239.5 million. And that was after you know the past previous years where they had to increase in their spending. They spent £33.5 million more in 2017 and then 13 million pounds in 2018. So, I mean, that is just amazing kind of money. And I think that a lot of it has to do that with this, I'm just looking here at the exchange rate and doing the crunching of it. I mean, the budget cap of $145 million next year is, works out to 113 million pounds. So that's less than 50% than what they're already currently spending. So, that is really, really amazing. Christian Horner insists that the Red Bull numbers are actually a true reflection of the actual cost of running a Formula One team. And so that really, really is kind of some massive, massive numbers. So it was like I was saying before the break that, with all these, these cost caps, there are exclusions to things and, that what'll be included in it and what won't be. And we got this token system coming in for next year before the new cars that were supposed to debut next year roll out in 2022. So it is kind of interesting to see that, but it will be interesting to see, I think, just in general, seeing how the Formula One teams, how they spend their money and when they're on that equal footing, how that is going to play out on the track. So certainly I think it's very interesting to follow that and see what the teams are going to do with it. I think it's going to lead to more creativity and more thinking outside of the box. And I really hope that especially when the new cars come in 2022, that it's going to lead to more action on the track and more exciting races. But when time will only tell, and we'll know. And but it will be interesting, at least in the short term, to see how the cost cap works. Anyways, going back, talking about some of the other teams, Esteban Ocon from Renault says that Russia was his strongest race of the year until his pit stop. He was actually up to fourth at the start, and then he was running ahead of his teammate Danny Ricciardo, and then Ocon found it difficult on the hard tire and had to actually switch positions, track position with his teammate, and let Danny Ricciardo go by. Anyways, Esteban had to say, quote, probably the first part of the race, I agree, is probably my strongest of my season so far. I had a good start and the pace was very, very strong in that soft stint, very comparable to Daniel, except I managed to keep the tires a bit more alive for a couple more laps, which definitely felt nice. Unfortunately, after the pit stop, though, with the hard tires, it was a bit more difficult. So we have a few things to review on that. There were potentially a few more points on the table on my side possible. But we're getting there. It's quite a good sign that we've had such good pace in the first stint. Obviously, it doesn't feel fantastic because of that second stint. But I mean, it's still a decent result for the team because we're catching on third place in the constructors. So it's all following well, end quote. Now, Danny Ricciardo, his teammate, believes that Renault can be strong at all the tracks for the rest of the year. And, they've had some pretty good results over the past little while. Ricciardo finished fourth at Spa, sixth at Monza, fifth at Mugello, and fifth at Sochi, even though he was given a time penalty there. Those are some pretty decent results for Renault. And I mean, last year, I mean, when they took over Lotus a couple of years ago, they slowly but surely were sort of trending upwards. They sort of plateaued there. Last year, I felt it was a bit of a step backwards for them. But this year, we're seeing a bit of a progression forward. And I think that, it's really a good indication of where this team is heading. Ricciardo is sixth in the world championship, only 2 points behind Lando Norris. And just, it's really, really good for him. I mean, Renault is fifth in constructors' championship, and they're only 7 points points behind McLaren, who have been in third place most of the season. So Ricciardo had to say, quote, after this weekend, I can certainly be more confident moving forward. Nico Hülkenberg did pretty well around here last year. He's talking about Sochi, but it certainly wasn't our strongest track. And personally, it's never been my strongest track. So to put in a good result here personally, but also have the car underneath me here, here, really from FP1 onwards, I think that says a lot. It gives me confidence now. I think that any track we go to, whether it's a top five car, I don't know, but I certainly think we can realistically aim for Q3 at every track now, no matter what the layout, end quote. So I think that, you know, it's interesting. I mean, he seems to be a little bit on the fence, whether it's a top five car, but certainly, like I say, I mean, the results have been more positive for Renault and in the last several races. And that's going to be another interesting one to watch, because what with a bit of musical chairs going on with the drivers, what with Sainz leaving McLaren and going over to Ferrari, and then Ricciardo going over to McLaren for next year, I think it's going to be really interesting to make that comparison with the Ricciardo and see how things are going for him at McLaren compared to how things are going to go with Renault next year with that that tandem of Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon. But I think that looking at the pairing for McLaren next year, Danny Ricciardo and Lando Norris, I like that pairing of those two drivers. McLaren is definitely a team that have revived their fortunes, but that's why I think that it's going to be a very interesting situation to watch, because I think it's a very, very similar team to Renault, and that's why I think it's going to be fun to watch that and see. Did Ricciardo make the right decision, go to McLaren? I mean, it was questionable 2 years ago when he decided to leave Red Bull and go to Renault. Obviously, that hasn't worked out as well as he'd hoped. I mean, Renault last year, in his first year there, didn't work out as well as he hoped. This year, an improvement, but obviously Ricciardo, he's not going to be content with sort of running in the middle of the pack. This is a guy that's won races, been a regular on the podium over the years, and certainly I think that going to McLaren, he feels in his own mind that is the right move for him. And they're aiming to get back on the podium themselves, but by that same token, so are Renault, and that's why I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, because we'll see next year. Well, because number one, I mean, it would have been interesting right off the bat if McLaren was going to have Renault engines next year. They're not. They're going back to Mercedes power. So there would have been that kind of interesting Renault tie-in, Ricciardo going from the Renault's works team to a Renault customer team. McLaren seemed to be building good cars again. They definitely seem to be going good with the Renault power unit in it. But, the Mercedes power unit is the best one in Formula One. And I think that a lot of people are going to just really be looking forward to seeing that get back in the McLaren. And that'll be the big question, whether or not is that going to be the game changer. How much more are they going to get in terms of performance out of the Mercedes compared to what they're getting from Renault right now? So like I say, going to be a fun one to watch. And but just talking about that, McLaren and that Sainz move, they actually had the potential to put the put the brakes on Sainz's move to Ferrari for next season, but they decided to actually let him go to bring Ricciardo on instead, because Sainz was going into an option year in his contract next year, and I guess they must have felt that what with him already wanting to leave, and then having a driver like Daniel Ricciardo expressing interest that he wanted to come to McLaren, that obviously was too good to pass up. Anyways, Zach Brown, the CEO of McLaren, he was on the F1 Beyond the Grid podcast recently, and he said, quote, when talking about Carlos, quote, "We could have kept him. We had an agreement where we could have stopped that. We had an option. We tried to get Daniel Ricciardo the first time around a couple of years ago, so he was always the highest on our list, and when Andreas Seidel joined, we kept in touch with Daniel. So conversations were started with Daniel. We got the sense he wasn't happy where he was at Renault, so it was more of the stars aligned in that we wanted to explore Daniel. Carlos wanted to explore Ferrari. What we could have said no, but we had an interest in Daniel. We kind of thought if we can end up with Daniel, Carlos ends up with Ferrari, then that's a good ending for both of us," end quote. Well, it definitely is a good ending for McLaren and Zach Brown. I don't know if it's such a good ending for Carlos Sainz. Ferrari's going to have a very good driver lineup next year, obviously, with Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc. Unfortunately for both Carlos and Charles, whether or not they have a good car underneath them and a good engine in the back of that car, that remains to be seen. But I mean, if you have that opportunity to go to Ferrari, I don't think anybody would turn that down. So you can certainly see why Carlos Sainz decided decided to do that and make the move to Ferrari. Anyways, time here for one final break on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
While sports can bring us so much joy, it can also bring us a lot of unwanted stress. And that stress can make it difficult to concentrate, relax, and get decent sleep. Sunday Scaries was launched in 2017 by two best friends and business partners, Bo Schmidt and Mike Sill. They operated a full-service bar with 50 employees and were always exhausted. They tried all kinds of products, but they didn't work. Then they started experimenting with CBD. They loved the effects and regained control of their days and nights, but they wanted better CBD products. So what they did for themselves was specially formulate CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that were super consumable, easy to take on the go, and effective. Long story short, their specially formulated CBD products and vitamins helped relieve the overwhelming angst they felt on a daily basis. So in July 2017, they named the company Sunday Scaries and began sharing their products with friends and launched their online store at SundayScaries.com. With tens of thousands of customers, monthly subscribers, and a 100% money-back guarantee, Sunday Scaries has always been on a mission to transform a worrisome nation into a chill one. And right now, we have a bonus for you. Get 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME. Again, 25% off all products at SundayScaries.com when you use the code OVERTIME.
This is not the London I grew up in. It's time to take back our city. This granny's joining the resistance. Are you? Play Watchdogs Legion. Available October 29th. Rated M for mature.
All right. Well, welcome back to the show. And just a couple of items before we close it down for this week. Sergio Perez says that he's made progress in sorting out his Formula One future. And much like Sebastian Vettel was saying in recent months, he's in no rush to finalize any deals for 2021. He's been one of these guys that's been left without a seat. It's kind of strange and kind of cruel the way that Formula One works, especially for a guy like Sergio Perez. I mean, He's been the guy at Racing Point / Force India. But again, when you have a guy like Sebastian Vettel on the market, you can understand, especially with the rebrand to Aston Martin for 2021 and all the money that Lawrence Stroll and his team are putting into Aston Martin, both in the Formula One team and into the parent company to the road cars. You can understand why they'd want big name driver like Sebastian Vettel. Unfortunately for Sergio Perez, that meant he was the odd man out. And he says that he only wants to commit to a team that is going to offer him some sort of long-term potential with the new regs coming in 2022. And he was asked after the Russian Grand Prix where things are going in regards to his future in Formula One. He said that there has been some progress, and he didn't really say there was going to be a quick finalization of these talks and discussion. Anyways, Checo had to say, quote, who knows, really, nothing is signed yet, but definitely there's been some progress, so we will see in the coming weeks. As I said before, I think at this stage, no one is in any hurry, not the teams, not myself, so let's wait still. There is a long way to go, end quote. So, well, I mean, there's a couple of options there. I mean, one is Haas, who said that they have up to 10 names on their list, including Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen would have been their drivers for the past couple of years. And Sergio Perez, I mean, he's got a pretty good he's proven in Formula One. He has lots of sponsorship money that he brings from his home country, Mexico. Team principal Haas, Gunther Steiner, said that it is not a given or a no-brainer, I think was his exact words to sign Sergio Perez. But certainly he's got to be in that conversation. I mean, you also have a guy like Nico Hülkenberg that's out there, and I mean, he's proven to be a good driver as well. I mean, wouldn't it be kind of interesting, that if say Haas part ways with both Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen, you see Sergio Perez and Nico Hülkenberg teamed up again in Formula One at a team like Haas. And I think that honestly, either one of those guys would be a good driver for them to sign. So anyway, so we'll keep an eye on that, see what happens with Perez and also with Hülkenberg. I mean, he did very well in that one race when he came in and filled in for Sergio when he had COVID a couple of months ago. Anyways, son of former, well, seven-time world champion Michael Schumacher, his son Mick, and also Callum Ilott will get their first official runs in a Formula One practice session at the Eifel Grand Prix at the Nürburgring next week. And this was came as Ferrari made an announcement for what they're planning with a bunch of their young drivers. Schumacher is going to drive for Alfa Romeo in Antonio Giovinazzi's car. Ilott will drive in one of Roman Grosjean Haas cars, and Robert Schwartzman will get the first free practice run at Abu Dhabi, but he doesn't know which team that's going to be. So they're also going to get a chance to test at Ferrari's Fiorano test track on Wednesday, and driving the SF 71H, which is their 2018 car, which was a very good car. Obviously, it was a title contender, and so it's good to see that some of these young guys are going to get behind the wheel. And certainly, I think Mick Schumacher, just his background and the family name, is his dad, obviously seven-time world champion, is his Ralph, his uncle Ralph Schumacher, Michael's younger brother, multiple race winner, not nearly as good as his brother, but a decent Formula One driver in his own right. So it's kind of cool to see. Anyways, Ross Brawn, the managing director of motorsport at Formula One, and also he was at Ferrari during the Schumacher glory era, he had to say, quote, "When you carry the mantle of the name Schumacher, it is not an easy gig. It can give you some benefits, but you are the subject of scrutiny the whole time. Mick has handled it amazingly well in the latter part of the season, his second season in Formula 2. We have started to see him mature, develop extremely well as a racing driver. Russia was an excellent weekend for him. I'm full of optimism for his future," end quote. So there you go. Good to see. And then this one also involves Ferrari under the who really, or the category of who really cares and why even bother. They apparently are going to introduce further upgrades to their car, to the SF1000 for the Nürburgring next weekend. They ran a bunch of new parts on their car at the Russian Grand Prix at Sochi. That's maybe a little bit harsh. I mean, Charles actually finished sixth, which was his best result in six races. So they had new rear wing end plates, a new nose cap, and tuning vanes. And they've had obviously their issues. Charles actually said that just driving the car doesn't feel like there's a big difference, but the data says that there is a small gain in performance. So I guess it's probably not a bad thing, especially what next year is going to be a development on this year. So you might as well try and make improvements where you can. Anyways, Bahrain, where we're going to be going in a couple of months, is they're saying that they're not anticipating using the outer loop layout to become its regular Formula One Grand Prix track following the planned debut in December. So they're going to host two races there at the end of this year as part of this revised calendar, of course. And, so it's going to be pretty cool to see. So they have different circuit layouts for the two events, and they're going to use this outer loop configuration for the second race on December 6th. That's going to be pretty cool to see how that goes goes as well. So I'm really like this idea, the way that they're going to do this. This circuit CEO, Sheikh Salman, he said, "It's an interesting year. I think decisions we made, especially with us, because of the situation that we're in, it is a lot shorter of the track. So for us, I think the international layout is something that we know more fans can see because of the inner part and the technical aspect. It's a decision that they made considering the situation that they're in, and they would have to do more events. If we had one race per year, if we were chosen for one race only, it would be on the international layout, which is like the first race in Bahrain this year," end quote. So Bahrain is able to make use of the outer loop as the layout has a grade one circuit license, and that's what all tracks need if they want to host an F1 race. So they're not going to really have to make a lot of big modifications to the track to host the Sakhir Grand Prix, which is going to mark the first international event on the outer loop. So it's going to be kind of cool. Anyways, Sheikh Salman goes on to say, quote, "Formula One technically now have taken a more detailed approach to all layouts, where they put the cameras, where they put all of that. I think think with Pat Simons, they have a technical team now. In our promoters meeting, they have their own presentation saying what we can use, how we can use them. They're approaching it more, which gives us confidence that they chose that layout with understanding everything. The track layout and the lighting will be set up for F1 standards and all of that. End quote. So they're going to be hosting rounds 15 and 16 of the 17 race season, and and it's going to be two legs of a triple header, and that's going to be completed with Abu Dhabi to round out the season at the end of the year. So that's going to be awesome. You know, I was looking at the schedule last week. I thought we had all of our triple headers behind us, but I know it's tough for the teams, but for fans, for people like us, it really is cool, and it's something to look forward to, knowing that each and every week you got a race coming up. And finally, the organizers of the Australian Grand Prix, they're working hard towards hosting the opening round of the 2021 season in March. And it's a traditional time slot. It's usually about the middle of March, and has been for quite some time. They're looking tentatively at a date of March 14th, and they are actually planning to have spectators in the stands as well, it's going to be tough because they have some pretty strict COVID rules in effect there, which it's going to be like we've seen at some other tracks with limited capacity and grandstands maybe repositioned and social distancing and all that. It seems to be it seems a bit of a push, a bit of a stretch, because Melbourne is in the middle of a what they call a stage 4 lockdown because that they've had a pretty deadly second wave of COVID-19. New case numbers down there are actually going back towards single figures, and so they're hoping that down there that they're going to be back to normal by Christmas. And if they can get there, then it's going to set the foundation to actually start hosting events like the Australian Open and the Australian Grand Prix next year. So certainly we hope that would be the case, not just for the for the Formula One race, but just life in general, because it's been a tough year. Anyways, that's it for the show this week. A little bit shorter than usual, but it's been a crazy week here. I just don't have the energy this week. I've been working late, so I'm just gonna keep it before I fall asleep here. I don't know how I managed to actually get through the show this evening without coffee, but somehow I did. And that's probably a good thing, because I want to go to sleep in a little while, and I don't want to get too much caffeine into my system, too late in the evening and get all revved up. But anyways, that's a bit of a tangent. Anyways, thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show. If you want to get in touch, as always love the emails and tweets. Please do so. Twitter at @ScuderiaF1Pod, email scuderiapod@gmail.com. And that's it. That's a wrap. Have a great week, a great weekend, and I'll talk to you guys this time next week. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast. If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com. Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.
This is not the London I grew up in. It's time to take back our city. This granny's joining the resistance. Are you? Play Watch Dogs Legion. Available October 29th. Rated M for mature.